Hey, what it do with the business is?
It's another week in the books. Little delay there, my bad, with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, Animal_Brown, if you're looking for me on Instagram, Twitter, and sometimes Snapchat.
I am Spike Lou in the same tweet streets as I always be posted up. Just doing work right there in them tweet streets. Might catch me on IG sometimes. I am Spike Lou on all the social sites. Shout out to your boy on Facebook, man. Shout out to the 50 and up crowd.
Absolutely, man. Damn, 50 and up?
50 and up. That's what Facebook, that's the stomping grounds for the 50 and uppers.
They can have that, man. Hey, listen, great feedback on the episode last week. Shout out Starlito. That's our guy. We did an album review for his paternity leave. Great feedback. We appreciate everybody checking it out. We appreciate all the new listeners, man. Triple salute.
Absolutely, man. We always get big numbers when we do Starlito episodes. Friend of the show, man, Nashville represent. I always want to show some hometown love, man. So I enjoyed the album. Still listening to it now, man. You guys go if you didn't. Or like, well, if they knew here, then they definitely hear from that. They listen to it. But if you haven't listened to it, go check out this Starlito, man.
Absolutely, man. Don't sleep. And before we get into the episode, first, now we got to kick it off. How you hanging in there with the how's COVID and all that shit on your side of town?
Man, numbers are up. And on the news, it's saying the numbers are back up since people weren't paying attention. We are banned from traveling to Europe right now. You got to wear a mask if you're going to the Caribbean. I had a trip planned for August. I don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Yeah.
But, man, it is what it is. Like, you know, slow grinding it out. What do you think? What you got going?
Nah, plus one. It's business as usual. I'm chilling.
Did you have any, my bad, did you have any vacations, anything planned?
Yeah, I had one in May. But that's,
did you reschedule?
Nah, we just reschedule. Just got out of there. Yeah,
you got anything that you're gonna replace that with? Like travel? 2021. Are you done for the year? You out of there?
Yeah, I think I'm done for the year. I do want to go to Vegas though, and they are going to be giving tax cuts and incentives if you travel within the states the next about two or three years. So I'm gonna take advantage of that. I want to go to Vegas to the Raider Stadium.
That's what you're risking it for?
Nah, motherfucker. I was gonna say 2021, motherfucker. Shit.
Well, let me ask you a question then.
Okay.
You're a Packers fan.
Absolutely.
And I promise y'all we're going to get to hip-hop in just a second.
Okay.
If they play the NFL season this year, you can get Packers tickets for dirt cheap. Are you risking it to go to a football game?
In Lambeau Field?
Yes.
Nigga, hell yes.
Wow.
What? I had three masks on, nigga. I'm there. You ain't talking about nothing. Fuck it. I get COVID for that. I'll do the, that's the trade-off.
You're trading. You'll go get COVID to be at Lambeau Field, like right there where they jump at. Like right there.
Listen, I'm hugging the hell out of Devontae Adams when he jump in my motherfucking arms, nigga, when he scored that damn game when it touched down.
Nigga just going to be there spreading it. It ain't no more jumps, huh? Like, they ending that. That's going to be a wrap.
Niggas are ending handshakes and daps, yeah, so the jumps are over with.
That's wild, man. But hopefully we can get things, you know, going cracking back. People still in the streets protesting. We appreciate it, man. Shout out to the Generation Next, getting Absolutely. It done out here, making changes. A couple laws passed, man. So things are moving slowly but surely, man. But we here to talk about hip hop.
Yeah, man. Before we kick things off, rest in peace, Huey. St. Louis rapper most known for Pop Lock and Drop It was killed on the 26th, 27th. Mm-hmm. It was a double shooting. Man, it's rough. He was only 32 years old, which is crazy considering I thought that song felt like such a long time ago. That was 06. So I didn't know he was that young when that dropped, man. So most definitely condolences to his friends, family, and fans.
Yes, condolences to Huey, man. Definitely sorry to hear about that. One of those people in the 2005 and 6 era that were able to capitalize off this style of music that was not the norm for hip-hop, and he did his thing with the Pop Lock and Trumpet. So my condolences to his family and friends, as you said.
Absolutely, man. Now let's get to the show, man. Coming up on today's show, Little Baby's asking price for features through the roof. Westside Gunn shades his label, no pun intended. And we recap that Jadakiss and Fabulous breakdown. But first, Let's talk the BET Awards recap. Despite COVID, BET Awards went down this past Sunday. People were unsure of how this was going to play out, but it turned out it was a virtual award show hosted by Amanda Seales. Performances by DaBaby, Megan Thee Stallion, and several other artists. Roddy Ricch also. Rave reviews on Twitter. Were you feeling it as much as the people were on social media?
Yes, in short. I usually don't tune in night of the BET Awards, but as you stated, that Rona is out and about. So, I mean, it wasn't anything better to do. So I sit there and I watch the BET Awards, and I was actually entertained by this. It went a lot smoother than it usually goes down in person. So I guess that's why I was there for it. The production was good. The performances was good. They weren't really focused on giving the awards, it didn't seem. But I was really impressed with the backgrounds. Like I said, again, the different performances. I think Summer Walker did a great job. In her performance, but it was good. The intro was dope with the Public Enemy remix. So overall, I was very impressed by this award. So even especially compared to years past. What about you?
Yeah, I almost want to jump on a limb and say this was one of the best ones, but I'll say this was one of the best ones in recent memory because I was thoroughly impressed with the production value of the shows and the performances. I didn't know what to expect going into this. I thought this was going to look like an early versus battle. You know what I'm saying? Like niggas on the Zoom call, the bad Wi-Fi connection and shit. I didn't know if it was going to look like the NBA's horse. Remember that shit?
Oh, my God. I didn't even watch that. You took time out of your day to watch that, which is amazing to me still.
Hey, man, I needed sports. I needed a sports fix. I thought that was going to be able to scratch
that it. That didn't do it.
That shit was trash. This was, like, Megan Thee Stallion performance. That shit looked like a Hype Williams video, bro. Like, I was like, damn, this shit is tough.
It was dope.
And I will say, too, another thing I thought was smart was on the musical performances, they still used live, like the beat and stuff was still a live band. They didn't just take the song and just, you know, basically make a video. They still kept the live percussion and shit. I thought that shit sounded real good on Roddy Ricch. Performance. So, hey, kudos to BET. They pulled this one out of their ass. It probably cost them, you know what I'm saying? Because they probably lost a lot of money from ticket sales and you know, the economy boost that comes with having that in the city. But they pulled it off, man. Kudos to them for sure.
It was a dope, really dope show. Roddy Ricch had a great performance. Usher didn't care anything about that Rona. He was walking all up on Summer Walker. She was kind of like, my bro, what are you doing? To review some of the winners, I know last week we made some predictions, so we'll go over a couple and see what we think about those. Best female R&B pop artist, Lizzo, as I predicted.
True.
All right.
Yeah, you called it.
Best male R&B pop artist, Chris Brown. Shock. Yeah. Shocker.
Yeah, he could probably win that area.
Migos won the best group. I think we thought Chloe and Haley would walk away with that. Are you surprised at that?
I am, because Migos didn't even drop last year. They haven't dropped in forever. So, but then again, Chloe and Haley just came out like yesterday. So I don't know. I was a little surprised by that. I was rooting for Griselda and Jack Boys, but it's all good.
100%, and we'll get to that Griselda later about their nomination. DaBaby won the best male hip hop artist over Drake, Future, Lil Baby, Roddy Ricch, and Travis Scott.
MVP DaBaby, I see you, boy.
And GTFOH.
That was the most solid win on here.
Absolutely not, man. Like, maybe if you don't nominate Drake, Future, Lil Baby, Roddy Ricch, Travis Scott, DaBaby wins it. But if he's in the same category with him, I'm sorry. He just doesn't win that.
So they gave Roddy Ricch album of the year, though.
He deserved it. I was surprised that they gave him that. He definitely deserved it.
I was too. Out of the people in the categories, he deserved it for sure.
Who do we think was going to pick that? I think we said somebody else. He won Best New Artist, too. Yeah, thought they'd give it to Beyonce. She did give a speech at the end, too. So that was pretty much it, man. Anything else you want to address there with the BET Awards?
Yeah, they showed the commercials for a couple of new docuseries that they got coming out. And listen to me. When I had my back turned to the TV, and I heard P Voice, and I heard No Limit Soldiers come on the screen, I turned around, and I was like, what the fuck is this please have this come on tomorrow. I need it immediately.
I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that Rough Riders when we see. Shit, I'm ready for the Uptown one with Harvey.
They 3 for 3 with them.
Man, and they need to go on and stop playing. You get that Rockefeller footage that's online from at night. The Dynasty of the Rockefeller thing, and make that the season cap.
Yeah.
Like, let's run it. Bill Simmons want to get his credibility back with black people. Do that Rockefeller 30 for 30. We in there.
For the record, too, a lot of people may be like, man, it's on BET. Are they going to fumble it? Are they going to bumble it? The Death Row Chronicles series was fire.
Was it?
Man, I don't think I watched that. Nah, that shit was hard. Nigga, it was like a little 4 or 5 part series. They got them up right.
I wonder, is it on their streaming service, which I don't have either.
You better get that free trial and run it.
Let's go. That is a good idea. Next, your man's, my man's, everybody's man, Uncle Snoop. He's been called a hypocrite after the recent West Day Ever weekend and all the unveils that Kanye West had going on. Snoop was seen in the studio with Dr. Dre and Kanye West after 2 years of criticizing your man's Kanye West. Would you call Snoop a hypocrite?
Yeah, it's fair. It's fair to call Snoop a hypocrite for the last 2 years. And I'll quote him on this. He said anybody that supported Trump was a racist. And that if you support him, quote, fuck you, fuck him too, and Kanye too. Don't forget about him, end quote. So, yes, I would have rathered him said, yo, I spoke with Ye, we squashed it, and then hit me with the studio footage. You hitting me with the studio footage whispering in the background while Snoop and Dre are working, but you like a groupie, bro. Like, he didn't even look like he belonged in there. I was like, what is he? It was weird. I was like, what are you doing, dude?
Man, quit hating, man. Get out of here. Weird as hell, dude. You just love Kanye West. Snoop stands on what he says. Kanye West is still an asshole for supporting Donald Trump in everything that he done with it, with his comments that he was getting backlash for. Now, Snoop is an old man. He's in that category of what we've coined here as contemporary rap.
Yeah.
So, of course, man, you get an opportunity to work with two of the best producers ever, and you're going to be excited about it. Snoop is still and has always been a steward of the music industry. He loves this stuff. He said that time and time again, which is why he still drops albums. Come on, man. He didn't come off like a groupie. You see, he didn't apologize for what he said to Kanye West. For all we know, he said fuck him when he walked in that studio door.
Nah, not the way he was acting on that video. No.
He was just acting like he was going to do a song with Dr. Dre and Snoop. I mean, with Dr. Dre and Kanye West. Can you imagine that? Dr. Dre and Kanye featuring Snoop Dogg?
He acted like a fan who was told, sit in the back. That's why and he was don't so say nothing.
That's why he was so disappointed. When everything came out with Kanye, he's a fan. We all were fans. We liked that guy. We didn't know what we were seeing with the new guy. So, man, I don't blame Snoop for being excited with this. Like, when I see where he's coming from with the video and everything. Like, it's just Kanye and Dre at the end of the day. Like, has that happened before?
Not off the top of my head, no.
I remember them working together. Don't quote me on that. It's a big deal. It's a big deal.
No, it is, but fans have a right. Fans of the culture have a right to ask questions, brother. Last time you were seen speaking on Kanye West, you shitted on him profusely.
He should have put in the caption and it's still fuck Kanye.
Now that would have been funny. Let
people know.
Now that would have been respectable, actually.
That's what he should have did.
But don't stand there and go, hey guys, Kanye's work, he's got good music, guys. As if you didn't shit on him and his family, bro, for 48 months straight.
People get weird when Kanye get around, man. I seen a video on Twitter with Kid Cudi watching the nigga play Sonic. He sucked too, by the way.
First of all, Kid Cudi is weird.
Did you see that?
I did. Mm. You talking about with the little wall game?
Yeah, that was killing.
Yeah, that motherfucker hard. I slick knee
that tomorrow.
That motherfucker tough. But Cudi is kind of a unique individual. And he's got a podcast coming soon, too.
Is that what they call it now?
Yeah, he's unique.
Unique.
Yeah. Would you listen to his podcast?
It ain't about music or anything like that. I would check it out because I'm interested in just different subjects as far as podcasting. So I would, if he's serious about the different subjects that he's talking about, then yeah, I would check it out.
Yeah.
Because one thing about Kid Cudi, though, I don't listen to a lot of his music. He's a good actor.
True.
So I guess he's a thespian of sort. He's a man of the arts. So I wouldn't put anything creatively past him. I check him out.
Yeah, How to Make It in America was criminally underrated.
Facts. Ooh. He was in something else too. What else was Kid Cudi in?
Was he Entourage?
He was in Entourage, and I'm rewatching that, and it's great show. Johnny Drama might be the best side character in TV history.
Yeah, shit. No, you gassing it, but it's fire though.
Johnny Drama and Ari too, though.
But yeah, Ari was the shit too.
Facts.
Next up, man, let's talk Lil Baby. Recently, he mentioned that Lil Baby arguably the hottest rapper in the game right now. You could say that.
OPF, yes, let's go.
He just mentioned the other day that he had an asking price for his feature, in case you were looking to get Lil Baby on your song. Mm-hmm. It's going to cost you $100,000
flat. Is that all?
Shit. My question, is that too high, too low, or just right?
Is that all? Oh, like, right now, as you stated, Lil Baby's the hottest in the game.
Arguably.
Hottest rapper in the game, period. Unless you're talking about one of the big threes.
Okay.
With Kendrick, Cole, or Drake. So if I'm not talking Kendrick, Cole, or Drake, then $100,000 for a Lil Baby verse, to me, it seems like a bargain. Mm. Especially right now, especially off the new single that he dropped with the Black Lives Matter theme in the video. You can't go wrong with Lil Baby. And to top it all off, all of that stuff, he's killing shit too.
Mm.
He's murdering all of his features right now as well. So, man, you get a Lil Baby verse, you're subject to be the next one up, especially how Atlanta culture is. They embrace the underdogs. They embrace the underground. People get broken every day here on the radio. The local rapper here is liable to be the next star in the next 6 months. If he got a Lil Baby feature for $100,000, like I said, that's a bargain. So I'm here for it.
Man, listen. This is entirely too high.
Fuck out of here.
Listen, I'll give him the arguably the hottest rapper out right now. That's a fair assessment. And with that being said, if I am a newly signed artist and I have a decent little budget from the label, there's no way in hell I'm spending $100,000 on a verse of anybody not named Aubrey Graham. That's the only nigga that's getting 100 bands for a verse.
Because you a stand boy. That's
no.
It.
Because
and listen, Drake not doing no verse for $100,000 either. Like what?
I'm just telling you, that's the only nigga I'm giving that to. If it came down to it, like
Drake
like,
not moving for 100 racks, bro. Like you got to understand, and these Corona prices too. Like it's another tax on that. Niggas ain't been working, nigga. Hell yeah, I want $100,000 for this feature. I'm Drake. I want $1 million. Like right now, you want a Drake feature? $1 million? Who I need to call? Get them on the line, nigga. Get them to sign off on this shit. And same thing for Cole. At least $500,000.
If you get
Kendrick
Baby,
Lamar, 1.5.
The fuck out of here.
Right now. For a Kendrick Lamar verse?
No.
I need it.
These niggas, listen, your song will be fire. No, nothing, without question. You get Lil Baby on your shit, your song gonna be banging. You get Drake on your shit, you're a star overnight. That's what I'm saying. That's what you pay for. You paying for the look.
Yeah,
that's it. Drake is Magic Johnson with the assist.
Yeah,
Lil
that's
Baby
true.
He hasn't broke anybody to my knowledge on that level yet. I'm not saying it can't happen. It just hasn't happened yet. So them 100 bands got to go to something else.
42 Doug, you wouldn't consider him broken by Lil Baby. Well, like, what's another nigga to rap?
Yo, got
to
put him on.
Okay. It's another nigga to rap with 4PF. I can't think of his name. But to your point. Possibly. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
To your point, though, that's why I think this is a bargain. Like, we spoke with Wendy. You want to go through the archives, the very intelligent Wendy Day, and she got Cash Money there deal. She told us what it costs for young artists to get on. That's upwards of $100,000.
Yeah, about
right?
$150,000. MGK spent about $150,000 to get on.
Yeah. Right? Now, of course, if I'm in a position where I'm just getting on, I'm not giving Lil Baby $100,000. It'd be outrageous because you're just going to have a song with Lil Baby. But if I'm in a position and people know my name and it's $100,000 for a Lil Baby verse, man, run it.
What level are we talking? Like if you Russ? Like what level are we talking about?
Russ bigger than Lil Baby.
That's fair.
I mean, just numbers-wise,
right,
internet-wise.
Right.
Man, if I'm...
Like not a vet. Like what? What you mean? Like are you A Boogie? Like a young nigga in New York or something?
A Boogie definitely can put $100,000 on a Lil Baby verse, and it's a bargain for him.
That makes sense. Now that makes sense. I ain't gonna lie.
Like if I'm black, 6 lakh.
Okay,
and
gotcha.
I wanted him on a feature. And it's niggas that really just don't get down with that vibe right there. But I wanted some shit to touch the streets because I feel like I could lace a hook or something. Man, I'm dropping that 100,000. Like, let's do it tomorrow.
That makes sense.
But at the same time, if I'm Lil Baby and they telling me that Drake want a million, I'm probably doing that too.
You have to.
Yeah, so that's why I think it's relative on where you are in your career. Like, it ain't him naming their prices, is that's to start negotiations. Is everybody going to get charged 100? No. You know, like, some people going to get charged more than that. Some people going to get charged less, depending on what you negotiate. This little homie from the hood that was 4PF and introduced by his homeboy to rap, he got 60 cash. Let's run it.
That's true.
You know what I'm saying? True. Pulling up, let's go. I ain't got to tell nobody about this. I just pulled up for a $60,000 bag. But
might get a 35 if we just talking brown paper bag.
If we just like here and you cool with my homeboy, you got 35,000 right there in that bag. Man, come on, man. What you need, 16? Let's run it. I ain't telling nobody. No accountants got to know about this. But I think that 100,000 gives people a reasonable expectation, even when they come to them to talk. Like, you know, like, at least I got to start somewhere around 85.
That's true.
To even get a deal. So I think it's fair, if being that he's the hottest rapper, in the, you know, that we consider in the game.
Real quick, though, speaking of Russ, did you see that Instagram post he put up about the money he made on streaming?
Break it down.
Listen, he said, first of all, this is for inspirational purposes only, of course. But he broke down his monthly streaming money dating all the way back to 2013 to show what happens when he signed a partnership with somebody and when he owned his own masters and did it independently. He showed the differences in money that he was making per month.
He made a lot more money independently.
Absolutely. 100% owning his shit. So he was telling people, he was showing this to the younger artists, you know, the younger artists that are independent, like, own your own shit. When you sign paperwork, make sure you own your masters, because this is how your shit will look versus when you don't own your masters. And he pointed out the months that he didn't own them, and it was like, you see the difference, you see the dip. But these numbers are crazy. I'm finna come out with a mixtape next week, dude. Like, this is nuts.
What's some of the numbers?
So he really turned up around 2016. July of 2016, he made 124,000 on streams. That's just for the month. August 2016, he made 102,000. Then the dip happened because he signed a deal. He made 64,000 in September and 99 in October. He got out of that partnership and bounced right back. November, 118,000. December, 151,000.
So he was independent, signed, and then independent?
Well, I don't know if he was independent. I just know he owned his shit.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So, because, see, he moved some of it. He partnered with Columbia for his debut in that time, and then that's when he kind of lost a little bit of that steam. But he ended in October 2017, and he made $282,000 that month on streams. $282,000 in 1 month for Russ?
In what month was that?
That was December of 2017.
December 27. What song?
Excuse me, October 2017. Hell if I know. Nigga, that's nuts. The month before that was 225. The month before that was 191, bro. The month before that was 208, 173, 183, 232, 224. What?
That was like millions of streams to equivalent to that type of money per month, right? They're not even getting a penny per stream.
Yeah, no, it's the percentage.
The stream
nuts.
Numbers got to be stupid.
God, bro, I see why niggas rap. Don't hate on the next nigga you see that want to rap. This is why, because Russ makes $250,000 a month off streams.
He been doing this for. It took 10 years to get to that point of rapping on SoundCloud.
Because he didn't make any money on stream until about 2013. When I mean money, I mean like $50. What Westside Gunn got going on, man?
Man, listen. As we just mentioned, BET Awards just recently passed, and Westside Gunn felt a little way. And by felt a little way, I mean he sent a tweet out, and he said he wonders the Shady Records even know that they've been nominated for Best Group. With that being said, do you think that West Side Gunn and his compadres, the rest of Griselda, could have found a better landing spot than Shady Records?
Like,
playing armchair quarterback here.
Yeah, this is a rough one because they've grown in popularity immensely in the last 2-3 years since they've signed with Shady. But I don't know how much of that is groundwork that Gunn and Conway and Benny have laid down, or is that marketing and placement that Shady has helped with. I don't know. I do know one thing. The first time that I heard of them was a blog page because they had signed to Shady to begin with. And it was Eminem signs fill in the blank. That's going to make headlines across all sites, and that's going to put you in front of a lot of people who may not have been aware of you to begin with, like me. So I'll say no. I think they're good where they are. They seem to be able to drop whenever they want to.
I ain't going to let you tell that lie. That wasn't the reason that you found out about the West Side Gun. Fam,
I had never Combat heard them
Jack
before.
Was talking about them when we were listening to Combat Jack.
But that doesn't mean it's stuck, though.
But you didn't go listen to it after that? I know I tried then, and I wasn't fucking with it. I was like, this
No, I didn't. I didn't. And he may have said that, but it didn't stick with me. He may have. I don't doubt that. Or I may not have heard that episode. I don't know. What episode did he mention them on? Like, I ain't got
it was several episodes. No, it was a consistent thing. They were on there. They were on there at one point, and then they were doing one of those little roundtable episodes, and he was talking about there was a group he was most excited about. I want to say this was 17, too.
Okay.
The beginning of 17.
No, I don't remember that. The first time I heard of them was Eminem signs new group out of Buffalo. And I was like, oh, let me see what this shit sound like. That was the first time I had heard of them. So going back, I can't say that that was a bad move because that's how I got put on. And like I was saying, they seem to drop whenever they want to, and it doesn't seem to be a lot of red tape whenever they want to do solo shit off to the side. So, I mean, fuck it, man. It looks like it's working right now. What you think?
I think that there's a different expectation when you sign to a Shady Records, especially if you are as talented as these guys are. And I just think that expectation is never met because once these different groups of people get there, they realize that it's all about Eminem. Like you said, it was the fact that Eminem signed a group that made you go listen to him. And I think expecting to be number one ever at Shady Records will probably be a fantasy for anybody. We've seen Slaughterhouse go through it.
Yeah.
I think, is Joyner Lucas signed to them?
No.
He's not.
No, but
you know, we see Slaughterhouse D12, go through we had, it. We had D12. Obi like, there have been groups and people that are signed to Shady Records, but it's all about Eminem. And that's not a bad thing. Shit, he's a cash cow. Right. So it has to be all about him. He keeping the lights on. And I think he signs these vanity projects because he likes the people and they can rap like Slaughterhouse. They can rap like Griselda, but it just never pans out because they can never pay the attention that they need to those groups. And I think that's the fantasy with those groups when they sign with Shady or Eminem, is that finally somebody who knows what it's like to be a rapping ass motherfucker but don't get the recognition we need. Now I can go over here and have a rapping ass motherfucker give me the recognition, but it never happens. You know, like I said, I don't think they never get broke off like they expected to. So I don't even really think that it's fair. I think the expectations are kind of probably too high for Shady and what they would be able to do for people other than, hey, you signed with Eminem, now I'm going to check you out like you said. So I expect this is the normal route for groups that have signed with them. We've seen Slaughterhouse, like I say, last like two records. Griselda probably will be in and out of this deal fairly quickly too. It's just like the gift and the curse of being with Shady.
Yeah, and listen, we probably talked more about them in their BET Awards on our episode last week because we seen they were nominated for Best Group. It was like, bet, they need that W right there. That'd be dope. BET got their ear to the street a little bit.
But let's play that out. Let's be devil's advocate. Like, if I'm Eminem, what, I'm calling and congratulating you for a BET Award? Nigga, I'm Eminem. Like,
no,
what do you guys want?
No.
Like, do you feel what I'm saying? Like, what if I'm in, what do you want me to call and personally congratulate you on?
No, Shady Records, this is really simple. Shady Records, the Instagram, the Twitter account, they can go on Canva and make a fucking post with all three of the guys and congratulations to Griselda for their BET nomination in 2020. Like, that's it for Best Group. Bring some attention to the shit. Mm-hmm. Show them that you're paying attention. Like, well, who works for Shady other than Eminem?
That's the point, though. I think if you have people that are in tune and know that you have such a hot item like Griselda, then you're doing that. But if the people that work there are used to Eminem keeping the lights on, paying the bills, and it's like, oh, Eminem ain't dropped, then I ain't got no work to do. Nah, like, if
that's on Eminem, then.
Exactly. That is. I think that that's on Eminem from a hiring standpoint. I think that the expectations are always for groups when they go over there. It's like, I'm going to get a motherfucker like Eminem to pay attention to my projects now, and who knows what that means for me as an artist, as a lyricist. But it don't happen that way. It's just a record label that's pumping Eminem. Mm. Like, that's what it is.
Yeah, that ain't nothing there. That explains why nobody else took off then, and they're winning in spite of Shady Records. Then, yeah, that's the case.
Exactly. And I'm not shitting on it. I'm not saying it ain't working. Clearly, they're keeping it popping with Eminem, but that's what they're there for. Like, we here to pump Eminem.
Yeah. Shout out to them though. West Side Gun got something coming out Friday.
Absolutely. Yep. Cover art was crazy too, wasn't it?
Yeah, with the, he got the babushka on or whatever that's called.
Yeah, it's killing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Always excited when they drop.
Yeah, I'm fucking with it. I need that. I need a full length Benny project though. Then he quit bullshitting. Where
you
at?
Are you ready for him on the modern day, not Alchemist beats? Like, you ready to hear him with Boy Wonder and shit?
Oh my God, yes. What? Is that what we're waiting on? If that's what we're waiting on, then take your time. Listen, August, September.
And you ready to hear that Benny and Kanye?
Benny and Drake?
That'll be stupid. Man. That's gonna be stupid, yeah.
Yeah, let's make that happen.
I'm waiting on that though. I can't wait till that happens though. I'm almost to the point of, like you said a couple episodes ago, where I'm tired of y'all niggas piecing this shit out now. Yeah. Come on with the main ingredient. I'm tired of appetizers and shit.
Yeah, I need that entree, big dog.
Yeah.
All right, man. Let's talk about this Jada Kiss and Fabulous, very entertaining versus battle, the latest versus battle in the series that is brought to you by Swiss and Timbaland. Is Timbaland still a part of this? He done fell all the way back.
Nah, they was doing the interview. He was there. Yeah,
Swiss done took his own
interview somewhere. Like, you know how Timbaland do. He's like ad-libbing. And then Swiss do the heavy lifting.
That's fair.
I think it's real. This is my opinion. I don't know this to be fact, but I think it's really dope that he kept Timbaland around, because Swiss could have ran with this.
That's a fact.
And been like, this is my versus, nigga.
That's true. I will say this, though. This was the second true rap battle next to Ludacris and Nelly. Mm-hmm. Most of the other ones have been producers, singers, songwriters. So this was the second rap battle. With that being said, going into it, what was your expectation knowing that this was the second one of two rappers, and the two rappers that are in it, Fab and Jada, who a lot of people put in the same category?
Expectations, it piqued my interest again. Other people enjoyed his verses a lot more than I was enjoying it. Like, when it was two rappers, that was entertaining to me because I like that genre. Other ones, I was like, okay, cool, and got in and tapped out. With this one being Jadakiss and Fab, I was interested to see how they would put on a performance. Like we've said time and time again with these, it's not only about the songs that you select, it's about how you engage the audience, how entertaining you are, knowing when to play what. So I was very interested when this was rolled out and named it was going to be Jadakiss and Fab for Fab's personality, Jadakiss' personality, mm-hmm. Listen to him on a couple of podcasts. So for those reasons alone, just to see how these guys would play it, I was 100% tuned in, ready for this. I think this may have been my most anticipated one to this point. What about you?
I was excited too. I thought the promo for it was dope with the Knicks jersey. Like, all that shit was fire. I think this was a good match. These were two evenly matched people. You know what I'm saying? They're both from pretty much the same era. You know what I'm saying? Like, you could argue Jada is a little bit more on the street side. Fab is a little bit more on the commercial side in terms of, like, big records and shit. But I still thought that it was a good match. I honestly thought Fab had this one in the bag, though. Going into it, I thought Fab, I was like, Fab got this. This is a layup. Fab got singles for days. I thought he was going to go for the hits. You know what I mean? But I underestimated Jada and, you know, what his street B-side joints would do. I'm not going to lie, I underestimated that. And I thought, but for good reason, though, it turned out to be a really good battle. And my score, this is the closest battle out of all of them. I've watched all of them except for the gospel one. You know, clearly I'm not watching that. And I didn't watch the dance hall joint. I'm not watching that either. Like, that's a skip. I just don't fuck with the genres like that. But this is the closest battle I've seen. And out of 20 bangers, I had to score 9, 9, and 2. Literally flat even. Straight through. 9, 9, and 2 ties. That's the flawless score. It's the only score.
That's on the fence.
No, it ain't.
That is a cop-out score. Pick a winner, nigga.
It's a tie.
So ain't no tie. Get out of here,
was,
man. Bruh,
listen, this was the closest one we've had. Period. What did you have?
Because these were two aligned opponents. I do agree with this being the closest one as far as the tell of the tape. I had Jada Kiss like 13-7.
Wow.
Yeah, like easily too. Like, oh, in a walk off, and the 7 was late. Like, he was putting up garbage time points as That's far cap. As Fab was. And I promise you,
there was some ties on here, bro.
What did you consider a tie? Give me the round.
So I had Fab Young OG versus Jada's Blood Pressure. That's a tie to me. How do you pick one of the and that Jada? That's the one where he said the headphones is on fire this time around. Mm-hmm. Styles.
I tell you how I picked that over Young OG, because Young OG is a fire song, but in a battle setting, that ain't it. Like,
what?
Man, my nigga, I'm not trying to, like, that's for me, like, when Jada Kiss responded to him playing that, he said the perfect thing. That's for me, nigga, I'm riding, smoking on the interstate, the highway, wherever you at, whatever you call it, when you zoning out dolo, you fail bodying the beat, tearing it down, like, you need to hear that then. We in a battle, my nigga, and this goes to another reason why I say that Jada Kiss won. We in a battle, my nigga, like, we engaging, like, this is a fight. I ain't here to vibe with you, my nigga, and play Young OG and for me to tell you you ripped it and shit. At least me, anyway. Like, it can be some friendly moments, but right. Overall, man, I'm trying to smash you. If I'm trying to smash you, I ain't playing Young OG.
That Young OG is fucking Young OG flames,
banging.
Dog.
It's banging.
Both of those, to me, that was even. That's an even call right there, dog. And that Can't Let You Go and Ride or Die Chick, that's even, bro. You can't pick one of those over the other. It's the same shit.
Nah, Ride or Die Chick bigger than that, man.
What?
Ride or Die Chick, you know it is,
I really want to be with you. I got to be real with you. Man, I can't leave you.
That was a cool banging song, but against Ride or Die Chick, it became a whole saying. Like, that's a term now. It wins just because of the head. Like, it's a term now.
That's fair. She gave me head because the movie was whack. Word.
Fab really need Fab. I'm beginning to think that Fabulous has performance anxiety. He'll never show up in the big moments, man.
Damn.
Like, this supposed to be better than that. Like, Fab's been like, he ain't been the same since the Ray J situation, man. Like, it has not been the same, man. He funnier than this, man. He had some good little jabs, and there was some good. He had some funny stuff in there. If you a Fab fan, you had to watch for it. But Fab got off on some of his funny shit. But it's like Jada Kiss dominated this whole, like, his persona, like, everything. Like, everybody's talking about Jada Kiss the next day, and that's what you want if you're Jada.
Now that's fair. Now you're right about that though, because there was three stages of Jada.
Yeah,
about
man.
Them first five or six songs, that was cool, Jada. He was too cool. He wasn't even getting up out the stool or nothing.
That was high Jada. He went from high to drunk.
There was a middle piece in there where he was funny Jada.
Uncle. Like, that was a transition.
No, that's what I'm saying. He was tipsy, but he was funny, though. He was controlled.
And the high was wearing off, and the alcohol was kicking in.
At the end, it was drunk uncle kiss.
Then it was just, I'm here, my nigga. We turning up.
He stole the show.
Doing drunk dances and everything. Like, man, Jada Kiss. He was funny, dude.
Where Fab fucked up, because this is a great example of commercial versus street, or in terms of big records. And Jada had the underdog vote behind him. I understand that. But Fab tried to match Jada's street records early on. It's like, bro, it's like when you're playing Harden and you're trying to make him go right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're trying to force him to go right. Like, Harden can still score going right, but he's not nowhere nearly as effective as when he's going on his strong side with his left. Fab should have went with the left the whole game and just kept cooking niggas with the step back. Don't let them talk you out of playing that Trey Songz song.
I agree.
That's a big record, nigga. What are you doing?
That's what I'm saying. Fab had too much pride going into this, man. Like, in these battle situations, man, you got to, like, I would have let them motherfucking hits fly on Jada.
Tough.
I don't care what you play, my nigga. You can play the grimiest shit ever. I'm throw it in the bag, like, boom. I won, nigga.
Superwoman, like, say ah.
I'm hitting him with all big records. That's what I do. I'm Fab, dude. Like, I ain't come here to play with you. And that's why I think that he lost it. To piggyback off of your point. And that's why I think he lost it. Like, I ain't come here to match your energy and to be like whatever it may be. If I'm in this versus, I came to win. And I'm hitting you with 20 big boy records. Find you some. Go through your crates and you find you some records, bro. Other than that, you lose. And I don't think Fab did that. Fab was trying to play into the street shit, trying to be cool. Nigga would put, like, Jada had a good jab on him when he said, nigga, gonna perform every song. Fab, he didn't know what it was like. He didn't know what to do up there. Like, he didn't want to be too funny and make Jada mad, it seemed like, because he was drunk. But he also didn't want to be, like, stiff and, like, not in it. So he was somewhere in the middle, and that just wasn't appealing. Like, we needed more Fab, man. It just wasn't there.
It started off, I'm not going to lie, it started off slow.
Oh my God.
They both were sitting down. They both was too cool.
High at the beginning. Yeah, it was high.
Like, bro, what are y'all doing? Like, if it's going to be like this. And Kiss was like, man, we don't need a story for every song. We don't need a story. This one right
play
here,
the song.
I wrote in the bathroom with my shirt off. I was like, what? Even that shit was kind of funny though. But I was like, damn, bro. Like, they went through them first 10 quicker than hell.
Now, right, I agree with you, and we may get into this later. But now I need some rappers with a little bit more oomph to them, like some personality, like niggas that can get up there and be competitive without getting into a fight. You know what I mean?
We need, like, two rappers that don't like each other, bro.
Fair.
A Jeezy and Ross would be room. In.
Nah, I want them in the same room, though. I want them in the same room. Because, look, it's a maturity factor. Like, you can't fight every nigga you get mad at, man. We got to learn that as black people. So you got to be able to sit there and take his heat, my nigga, without throwing the fist of cuffs.
So it'd have to be 50 in somebody.
Nah, 50 going to get beat up, though. Like, well it's going to be a fight with 50. Because 50 don't know when to stop, though. It's a respect factor that 50 don't got. Like, it would be T.I. and somebody. Like, I'm not sure who it would be, because T.I. can play that game.
It'd
with
be
T.I. too.
And 50, bro.
Oh, that'll be good.
It'd be T.I. and 50, bro. Good. Like, they play cordial and shit, but
you're
real
talking
low
about
key.
Entertaining. Now, that'd be some entertaining shit right there. I think that's the one we've stumbled upon, the T.I. and 50 one.
That's what I'm
in
saying.
In the same room, though.
In the same room makes it hilarious.
Oh, my God.
Nah, we need that.
We need to call Swiss and get him on the line with that, because I think that's gonna break the internet right there. Like, that should break Versus records. T.I. versus 50.
What? So the last song they played, Fab played "Breathe" and Jada played "We Gonna Make It."
Mm.
Which one? Who do you have out of that though? That's nuts.
You gonna say I'm biased? Because it's 100% we gonna make it with Jada.
It's 100% we
Facts.
Gonna make it.
Facts. Breathe ain't like we gonna make it is a bigger song than Breathe, if we just going by that measure alone. But Breathe is a more like that's a rap hit. You know what I'm saying? Like it's probably been like a movie or two, maybe.
It's a little bit of a cheat code though, because he doing that with Styles though.
It's the what he doing that with what?
It's Jada and Styles on there. That's a little bit of a cheat code.
Nah, niggas been playing. That's what I was gonna ask you about next. How you feel about him playing the victory? Because niggas been playing songs they wrote throughout the verses, and ain't
I'm
no
not mad
rule
at
in
that.
Verses. Okay, so what's wrong with having Styles on there? Niggas been doing features and shit.
Nah, but I'm saying, but versus a song that
Ludacris' whole battle was features.
When you're battling against somebody and they play a song that they did on, that's a hit on their own, and you play a hit that you had somebody featured on that co-wrote.
That's what I'm saying. Like, niggas playing too cordial with these rules. I'm trying to win every round. If I got to play We Gonna Make It against Breed, then I'm playing We Gonna Make It. Let's run it. You tell me afterwards that it was wrong. Otherwise, give me the point.
That victory was nuts, though.
It was nuts. Not playing big versus criminal.
Oh, my God. First of all,
was criminal.
They should have replaced the DJ right as soon as that DJ cut off big verse. Get that nigga out of here, bro. Get him out of here. We need a backup DJ.
Oh, my God. And Kiss was going in on him, which was hilarious. And Kiss trying to DJ, rap, all of that shit. Man, Drunk J, the Kiss is a treasure.
100%. Man, hold on. I ain't gonna lie, though. After a while, Drunk J the Kiss got on my nerves.
It was funny.
Because he was on there like, how many times you gonna say that's Black Rob, that wasn't Black Rob's song, that was really ours? So you said that shit 6 times, bro.
But Fab was fucking with him, though. That's the funny Fab, though.
Fab was trying to just keep it moving.
No, he was not. He kept fucking with him saying it's Black Rob's song, and he was looking at the camera and shit. Like, that's the funny Fab, though. Like, you gotta look for Fab funny. Like, he gonna hit you with the subtle shit. Because that was very funny. It's Black Rob song. Nah, that's Black Rob shit, though.
I ain't going to lie, that's Black Rob shit. It made me, because I went back and listened to the playlist, which was fire. You know what I'm saying? Like,
what'd you listen to it on? Title?
Yeah. They, like, man, like, these niggas was real shit I hadn't heard in a minute. Like, hey, this motherfucker. Like, this is what Versus is supposed to be about, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, this is a picture-perfect Versus, minus Jada getting a little too drink champy drunk. This was perfect, bro. The feed was on point. I'm watching it at the crib on TV, on Apple TV. It's popping HD shit. If they can find a way to combine the Instagram comments and put those on Apple Music, I'd really be in business. Like, then you cook it with hot grease, they figure that shit out. But this is probably one of my favorite ones. It's the closest one. I fucking 992. That's what I got it, man. It don't get no closer than that.
Closest is 15.92. It's the closest you can get.
I don't believe that.
The closest you can get. Jada Kiss dominated. This is a thorough performance by Mr. Jason. Is it Jason? That's his real name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thorough performance by him, man. He came and did what he had to do.
Who next up, man? I think
EI and 50. Ross would be good in this too. I know we keep saying this.
But would he be too cool though? Like
Ross?
Yeah.
Nah, you know Ross funny, man. He gonna put the character on. He gonna be full on Rick Ross, man. Rick Ross will make it funny. If he's comfortable. He gotta be against somebody that he's comfortable with. Could Ross and Meek do one? Or is that disrespectful to Ross?
Well, they got who gonna play I'm a Boss? They got bangers together. Like, who gonna play?
That's when you gotta do, that's the strategy of it. So like, motherfuckers can make this strategy. Like, because if that was the case, if I'm Ross and Meek, I'm playing that first. I'm taking this, so you can't use it, my nigga. So if I go first, and if we flip in the coin and I go first, boom, out the gate, I got it. So I know that's one you ain't using. That's two birds and one stone right there.
And then if we be in 100, and I said this on the Instagram Live, this is usually better with legacy acts, with two people who aren't necessarily in their prime right now.
Yeah, because of the nostalgia of it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so this is kind of like Dancing with the Stars. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I think what we're going to see is a Wayne versus somebody. I think we're going to get Wayne on one of these next, like, two.
That leads me to my next point. Niggas need teams for this now. If it's going to be a nigga like Wayne, he need a DJ. He need a hype man. He need a curator for his playlist. Because you would get Wayne up there playing all, like, life is, like, I'm not a human being shit.
No, he better not play that shit.
Rickly confused. But, like, a nigga like Wayne going to need a curator, a MC.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, a DJ, all of that shit. Yeah. He just need to come and smoke. Just say a couple, if you got a story for it, cool. If not, like, just be here. But niggas, I do think, could put teams together to help them out with this. Because... one thing that Fab could have did with some coaching, and we've seen this from the sideline, and it's easy to say armchair quarterbacking now, but like I said, don't try to match this nigga Jada Kiss with that street shit, or like you said, like, nigga, I'm hitting you with 20 hits.
Yeah, Billboard shit.
Nigga, yeah, like, I'm cheating, I'm using my Drake shit and all that, because I know you ain't got that. Come on, my nigga, like, for a nigga like... you literally got to leave no doubt in the nigga mind. Like, for a nigga to walk away and say, I won or lost this, like, I went in there and did that. And I feel like Fab could have did that. He was just too, like, I'm trying to cater to us. Like, nah, my nigga, blow this nigga out the water. We can play all of that shit later.
If you look at their discographies, who got the better discography out of them two, Jada and Fab?
Man, that's rough. We count mixtapes.
Nah, I was just going to say albums. But no, fuck it. Throw mixtapes in there. No, fuck it. Throw mixtapes in there.
Well, if it's mixtapes in there, I would go Fab because of the Soul Tape series.
No, because Jada of the fucking 10 fire-ass mixtapes that he has, nigga. Not just the Soul Tape.
Well, that Soul Tape series, because Jada Kiss got some fire-ass mixtapes, mixtape songs, classic features.
Yeah.
But I got to go Fab. Fab got a better discography than Jada Kiss, especially if it's something like my preference of what I want to listen to. Though I enjoy Jada Kiss a lot more as far as being in this battle, and there's some of this shit too grimy for me. Like, as we know, patrons of this show, and like some of that New York shit, like the Wu-Tang, like Ghost real grimy New York shit, I'm done.
Yeah,
I don't need no parts of that. And Jada Kiss get in their pocket sometime, and Fab really not. Fab really just be always on his fly shit and relatable to niggas down south that may not be on that New York shit. So I got to go with Fab.
Yeah, nah, me too. Fab, like, come on, man. The mixtapes is crazy. The mixtapes alone are nuts. You know what I'm saying?
Don't do Jada Kiss any kind of way, though.
No, nah, Jada got the mixtapes and shit, but not like Fab, though. Woo-wee. Hey, man. Like niggas used to be hot at Fab because he made his albums the way he made them. Like, man, nigga, give me a tape, bro. Like, yeah, damn, I don't want this shit.
How much you think did Jada Kiss charging for a feature right now and Fab?
I can get a Jada feature for 20.
What you paying Fab?
I can get that Fab feature for 28. Easy. And Marshall Faulk. Easy. And them nigga, and that 16 is getting emailed to me and it's getting Dropbox, nigga, that night. You ain't talking about nothing.
Yeah, that's fair. That's a fair price. That's funny if Fab will laugh at 28.
Nah, he with that. I mean, it depends, though. Like, who am I? You see what I'm saying? Like, if I'm MC no motherfucking body, then maybe he might be like, nigga, who the fuck is you? I'm
not what if on that it's, shit.
I'm not co-signing you.
What if I'm 42 Doug?
He'll do that, though.
Yeah, he doing them for free, really.
He don't do them any kind of way, but he doing that. He doing
Doug,
that.
Doug, the next hottest nigga, man. He going to do a trade-off on those.
Why didn't Jada play Y with Anthony Hamilton?
He was drunk.
That didn't make no... In the times that we in? I think
that was one of those where he had it queued up, but the liquor got to talking, and when he kept going back there talking to the DJ... He was trying to keep it street.
Man, nigga played a song with Jaheim. I felt like
that's
bro.
What happened. Yeah, he did.
Nigga that played a song. He, what?
I have no idea what's that. What album that song is. He moaned. I'm lying.
That nigga played a song with Jaheim I had never heard before. Like, nigga, what are you doing? Play why?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think it was an audible. I really do think it was an audible because they was doing a lot of audibles back then. Yeah, they were doing a lot of audibles back then, though.
Yeah. But overall, man, I thought it was fire. I had a good time watching that shit. I'm not going to lie. They kept it moving pretty quickly. Jada was hilarious. That was fun. The memes are classic on Twitter already. Like, it was good, man. It was a highly contested battle. Again, I got them tied up. I got it closer than you do, but.
That was fun, though. It was fun. We won.
There you go. The culture won.
Yes.
Speaking of winning. First of all, y'all let us know what y'all thought. Go to On Deck TV Podcast on Instagram. Go to the Rap Chat group on Facebook. Let us know what y'all thought, who you thought won, and what the score was, too. We need all of that. But speaking of wins and losses, man, you know what time it is. Let's get to
great segue.
Yeah, absolutely. Wins and losses, man. We got a W first to Shine. Shine Poe, man. He is running for House of Representatives in Belize. Puff shouted him out on Instagram, man. So big W to Shine.
Puff shouted out Shine?
Yeah. He the reason that really? People know that he's running for House of Representatives.
Well, no, this was reported a couple weeks ago. Didn't we talk about that?
No.
I didn't say that, huh? Well, his dad, Dean Barrow, is a Belizean politician as well. He's the prime minister of Belize. Yep. So it runs in his family. I think his uncle as well was also into the politics in Belize. So shout out to Shine, man. Hope he can get it.
Now, that's a good move for him, man. His uncle is, he's replacing his uncle in the member of parliament.
Okay, so, I knew his uncle was somewhere now, but his dad was a prime minister.
He still is.
Oh, really? Dean Barrow. He looks just like him, too.
Yeah, that's crazy. He was the first black prime minister of Belize. Shout out to, yeah, shout out to Dean, man.
Did he ruin in this nigga life?
Nah, nigga, yeah, them 10 set him back.
Yeah, they did it ruin this nigga life. He trying to be a rapper. This nigga can nigga daddy the prime minister. You trying to be a rapper, nigga?
Yeah, shit nuts. Bro. Next up, man, we got a W-2 Pharrell for opening a new restaurant in Saint-Tropez, France. It's called Toucher. Man, that's what's up.
I don't know if it's a WAL right now, man. It's like rough for the restaurant business.
What's it like in France though?
Their numbers are better than ours, but they were on a much stricter lockdown. So I'm not sure if people are able to go full capacity. I'm not sure. I have to check in France, but I hope it does well.
Yeah, man. First of all, the name is some slaw. Well, Toucher.
Yeah, that's Toucher some slaw. But I guess it's some French shit.
I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's like a what's it called? Tapas type where you order the big shit and everybody share. Yeah, I don't know.
Share that shit.
But
it's pretty clever.
Yeah, no, it's cool, but it's something about rappers owning restaurants. I'd be wanting to pull up to them and see what they talking about, man. Like, I'd be wanting to see what their restaurant's hitting on. I know we went to 2 Chainz joint, Escobar's down here.
You didn't make it to T.I. one, did you?
I didn't get a chance to get there. No, I didn't. They closed that shit in record time. Once this pandemic shit is over, the first restaurant I want to go to is Jeezy's. He's down here. Go to that shit and see what he's talking about.
What's Jeezy restaurant?
It's a steakhouse called American Cut.
Oh, I do remember reading about that. Yeah. I checked that out. We can hit that 100%. Yeah. I went to Cam Newton, but not a rapper, but Cam Newton got a cigar body. It's pretty smooth.
Don't nobody smoke cigars no more. That's crazy. No,
that's right. Also up a day.
Shout out to Pharrell, man. Next time I'm in France, I'm pulling up. We got an L. We got to pass out some L's. It ain't all about W's right now. We got an L to Virgil Abloh. For designing Pop Smoke's album cover and the backlash being so severe that Pop Smoke's team has now changed the album cover 3 days ahead of its drop date on Friday. Super L for Virgil.
Virgil out here scamming niggas, man, and it's finally coming to light. niggas is finally catching up to Virgil and it's scamming ways. There was a tweet out there that he said he thinks that the American flag was the best creative design ever or some shit in history.
I don't know.
Then a nigga shucked the shit out of IKEA with that bullshit ass receipt design. Like, this nigga, they finna get Virgil up out of here. And it's all fun and games. People accept how creative you trying to be and how abstract you want to be as long as you ain't on Shiest. As soon as you on Shiest and you give a nigga $50 for their foundation and $50 for the cause, like, niggas see what you really own, you out of here. All this shit start looking stupid then.
And listen, keep that same energy when these fours come out next month, please, because I need them in my motherfucking collection.
I'm good.
Please keep that same. Spread all of this. Yes, fuck Virgil, fuck Off-White. Don't support any of that.
You still gonna buy them?
Yes, I'm getting my size 13. I need those in my closet. Jesus. Fuck what y'all talking about.
Jesus Louises.
A bonus W. Bonus W to my boy Kanye fucking West. Let's go. West Day Ever was last week. He announced a 10-year deal with Gap Clothing for the Yeezy Gap line coming in 2021. I need all pieces. And he just dropped his new single.
I need all pieces.
Yes. He dropped a new single with Travis Scott. I need the album. I need the vinyl. I need the tape. I need the CD. Let's fucking go. Big W to Kanye.
You definitely not buying this single. shout out to Ye, man, being 48 years old and still able to move the needle like this, man. It's very impressive to be able to do this. I think that West Day Ever is that's very clever. I like the hashtag. It's pretty dope. And the deal with Gap, that's big. Like, Gap is a brand that gets him into more homes, essentially. Like, Gap is an everyday American brand, and like, people to be able to go in there and get the Yeezy sweaters and shit, I think that's a big deal for him. So much success to him in that brand, that line. It's amazing that he still moves the meter like that to me. But shout out to him.
And he gets, he's already cooking with Adidas, but he also gets royalties from this Gap deal. So it's a major play.
That's fine.
It's going to be essential shit. Plain Jane hoodies and shit. No logos and nothing like that. It's going to be just essential type.
Is that some of that hype-y shit? Like, is that going to be on line of, like, sell out and shit as soon as they drop
it? Man, I don't know, because it's going to be mass produced. So I don't know if it's going to sell out. The reason a lot of that shit sell out because it's limited.
Would it be smart for the Gap to do that, though?
To make it mass produced? Yes.
I'm talking about, like, what if they made some limited pieces?
Well, I mean, that, you can't go wrong with that either. You just got to keep that same energy that whole 10-year run, though.
Ah, oh, yeah, 10 years.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you going to keep it hot for 10 years?
Them tells me Kanye West may not be with them that long.
Man, who knows? Strange feeling. That bag crazy, though.
Yeah.
On Decker of the Week. Man, listen. We have a feud going on that is highly entertaining between Freddie Gibbs and Academics. And Gibbs gets this On Decker of the Week because less than 24 hours into their back and forth, Gibbs has merch for sale already with Academics' head on a Teletubby body. And then on the back, it says DJ Academics is the police. point me to, I got a cop a shirt. This shit is fucking hilarious. This is the quickest turnaround of merch in the history of merch. The beef is funny. It's very entertaining. I'm here for it. What about you?
I'm not, man. And I'm beginning to like Freddie Gibbs a lot more, and I don't think that this is a smart move for him. And the reason being, like, niggas like Academics are dangerous because you play back and forth with him like this online, and clearly if he touches Academics, Academics is going to sue him. Like, there's nothing that he can do to him, really. But more so than that, I think going back and forth with this guy opens you up for even more trolls. Like, now, like, these niggas that like him trolling you, and, like, you playing with him make other people think that they can play with you as well. I wouldn't, like, I don't want that type of energy. If I'm Freddie Gibbs, like, I ain't going back and forth with you. I'm not making no merch, my nigga. Don't say my name. Like, the same energy them niggas from Chicago have from him. Like, bro, like, please don't say my name. Almost, like, you're going to regret it. And I would leave it at that. Like, I can't, like, it may be funny, like, some of this shit funny, but just for the simple fact that I don't want the rest of the niggas that like him playing with me. Like, me and you might can get this off. I don't know if it's a publicity stunt for Everyday Struggle or whatever. He may not like him. I ain't sure the true root of this. Like, they may just be joking around and, okay, we taking it too serious. But if they're not joking around, I don't want to open the door for ACT fans to play with me like this, man. Like, my nigga, like, nah, because I'm going to hurt one of them niggas. Like, they ain't going to sue me like you.
Yeah, ACT is in his troll bag right now, and I thought it was interesting that Gibbs said that I'm not Vic Mensa, nigga. I'm not going to play with you like that. You know what I'm saying?
Clearly he is.
I thought that was interesting. Because Vic Mensa went on the show and said, man, I'll slap the shit out you.
Right, like right here in your face, my nigga, I'm ready to smack you. You say one more stupid thing. Like, Vic Mensa took it there. Like, Freddie Gibbs joking with this nigga, and jokes was funny. Don't get me wrong. Like, they were funny, and I ain't trying to dampen the crowd. I mean, be Debbie Downer or that like that. I get it. But it just, like, it opened up too many doors for other niggas to play with you now. Like, pause. Like, my nigga, no. I ain't got this. Because Ag got a lot of fans. But people fail to realize, regardless of how our generation feels about him or how you specifically feel about him as far as individually not liking him, like, your nigga got a lot of fans. A lot of people listen to what the fuck he say. So I don't want them people trolling me. So to avoid all that, my nigga, keep my name out of your mouth.
Hey, and then Tekashi got brought into it talking about that time they had Gibbs in New York. Hey, man.
Like, hold on, what happened?
You remember when he got into it, Jim Jones and them?
Yeah, I do remember.
Yeah, that was a nine trait. Yeah, that was a nine trait, nigga. So, you know, of course, the fucking mascot for that shit is going to jump in and throw his two cents, even though he didn't have a goddamn thing to do
with
nothing.
What did he say?
I don't think he knew he was actually being on camera when he was talking to Academics, when he was talking about how them niggas had Freddie Gibbs in a very compromising position in New York.
See, that's why, like, you don't play with niggas like that, man, because they start bringing up bullshit. Like, this is a real situation.
That was very real.
My nigga, now nigga like Academics recording a secret conversation with a nigga trying to be funny with you. That's what, like, you don't play with niggas like that because they don't got the same rules as you. Like, Freddie Gibbs, regardless of how I felt about him, I always thought he was a real nigga. Like, I ain't like his situation with Jeezy at all. But if you're a real nigga, man, you can't play with fuck niggas like it, man. Because they ain't going to play by the same rules. They're going to do shit like what you just said. Like,
they're going to talk you out of
private
your
conversations.
Out of your space.
They're going to trick you out your spot.
Yep.
Freddie Gibbs just now getting big. to the point where he should be. Nigga just signed the deal, man. I'm not gonna play with DJ Academics, man. Like, my nigga, all it would have took is one tweet, and I promise you, I would have pulled up on him. He would have never tweeted about me again, my nigga. Like, ever. Like, nigga, forget my fucking name, bro.
Real quick, though, what did you think about what he said about Jeezy? He said Jeezy was a legend, but he's musically irrelevant right now. It's accurate. I don't even know why you're thinking. It's accurate as fuck.
But it's okay, accurate. But why does Freddie Gibbs have to say that?
He was asked. Kind of sort
of. And well, indirectly.
Right.
He got to Jeezy some kind of way. But no, I think that these opportunities for Freddie Gibbs to be a star, to graduate to the next level. Like, even when you do small things like this, like, notice motherfuckers like the big dogs, they don't talk about beef or mention other people's name really in interviews. So it's a perfect opportunity for him to put that shit behind him. Quit associating me with Jeezy. Like, I don't even have a reason to talk about Jeezy right here. I don't know. I don't even listen to, like, he could have been slick and been like, shit, I don't even listen to Jeezy. Does anybody?
That's what he said. Like, that's basically what he said.
But no way, that he went all into it being relevant and him being a legend. Like, I ain't even explaining nothing about Jeezy, my nigga. Keep it moving. What's
that nigga,
next?
That nigga said, what you gonna do? You gonna beat me up? Jeezy gonna beat me up?
But see, that's too much, though. Like, that's, I just feel like that's too much for as good a rapper as Freddie Gibbs is. I ain't trying to take away from his personality, but I just think that he plays at the wrong time. Like, I ain't like my nigga. I ain't that really, like, you don't get no points for that.
I'm waiting on my Gibbs merch, man. It's on the way. I can't wait.
That Alfredo merch fire, though.
That Alfredo merch,
I like,
is
what
tough.
Freddie Gibbs is doing, man. He just need to tone it down a little bit. Quit playing with that, man. Can't play with niggas like it,
man. We wrapping up the show, man. Give me something. Put me on to something, man. Please.
Man, you know what I learned a little bit more about this week? I'm gonna put you on too, if you don't know about swing trading. Swing trading is the concept of moving and buying stock within the period of 1 week to like a month. One week to 6 weeks.
Okay.
Realizing the patterns that they will move in, buying multiple shares and selling those shares before their price moved. I'm no expert in it, but it seems to be something cool that I'm reading more about. And it's more so if you're trying to trade and make some money, like, not on the long-term shit, but if you like doing it to see a return fairly quickly,
sure,
like 6 to 8 weeks time, like, not saying that you'll see that, you actually have to be successful at it, but if that's your goal to like move some money and do it like that and learn about the stock market, look up swing trading. Some dope classes and podcasts about that. I learned about that this week. What you got to put us on?
That's dope, man. I'm in the same vein, man, on the money tip. Shout out to my homegirl. I don't want to blaze a name. She may not want her name out there like that, but she put me on to the EIDL SBA loan. These are for my people out here that have businesses, LLCs, sole proprietorships. People been hit hard in the pockets by COVID. If you have an LLC, even if it's just you, as long as it's still active, man, make sure y'all apply for that EIDL SBA loan. You don't have to take the loan. Just get the advance. The advance is $1,000 per employee up to 10. Get that free money. Since the government is out here putting it out here for folks like me and you, take advantage of that shit, man. Shout out to my people for putting me on. It's 100% legit. Like, don't, it ain't no bullshit. This is government grant money that was part of the stimulus package. So take advantage of that if you got an LLC or a sole proprietorship, man. Don't sleep on that.
Absolutely, man. Take that money where you can get it and flip it. Exactly. We all about black ownership here at the Real Bill Network and On Deck TV podcast. It's another week in the books, man.
Absolutely, man. We appreciate y'all checking us out again, On Deck TV podcast on Instagram. Leave us a comment on iTunes. And go to patreon.com/realville for bonus content, man.
Absolutely. Be looking on the lookout for everything that we drop. We appreciate you guys for listening. We out.
Yes, sir.